In the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. I hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. And thanks again to all of our veterans on Veterans Day for all their service and for fighting to keep this country free. And hope everyone had a reflective Veterans Day. That's what I hope. Part of Monday was kicking off Arkansas week. And for old heads like me, who had the chance to be around Darryl Royal, this week is an enormous week. For the old heads who remember the significance, or even who have watched the footage of the 1969 Texas-Arkansas game, where, you know, Street to Peschel on fourth down, and Texas pulling the upset, and Richard Nixon flying in on a helicopter and awarding Texas the national championship, much to the chagrin of most of the rest of the college football world. And just really, it wasn't just 69. I mean, it was every year in the 60s. It was 1964. Darryl Royal told me himself that the loss to Arkansas, 14-13 in 1964, still ate at him, because he felt like his 1964 Texas team, coming off the 1963 national championship, was one of the best teams he ever coached. And the only game they lost that year was to Arkansas, and deprived Texas of winning back-to-back national championships. The 1964 Arkansas team is the one that had Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson as players. They claimed the national championship that year. Barry Switzer was a young assistant coach on that Arkansas team, coached by Frank Broyles. And Darryl Royal was, you know, best friends with Frank Broyles. That's another aspect of the of that rivalry that I think blows people away, you know, is that Darryl Royal and Frank Broyles, who like went to war on the football field, they were best friends. And if you look at their records against each other, like in, you know, 62, it was, you know, Texas won 7-3. And in 63, they beat Arkansas in Little Rock 17-13. In 64, I mentioned Arkansas beating Texas in Austin 14-13. And 65, Arkansas beat Texas 27-24. You know, 66, Arkansas beat Texas 12-7. 67, you know, these games were just, you know, crazy close. And then in 69, obviously, it was the final game of the regular season. Texas won it 15-14. They called it the game of the century. And then, you know, Royal and Broyles decided to retire together after the Arkansas-Texas game in 1976. Texas won that game in Austin 29-12, and Darryl Royal surprised a lot of people and Frank Broyles by both announcing they were retiring after that 76 season. Darryl Royal was only 52 at the time, never coached again. And so it was funny to me on Monday when Steve Sarkisian is talking about this Arkansas. You know, he learned the hard way in 2021, taking his first Texas team up to Fayetteville as 6.5-point favorites and getting just ambushed by Arkansas 40-21. They were honoring some historical team at Arkansas. Jerry Jones was there anyway. Arkansas ran all over Texas. I mean, ran for 300 yards rushing, 7.1 a carry. KJ Jefferson was the quarterback. He's now at UCF. But Sarkisian said on Monday, I don't know what Daryl Royal did to Arkansas back in the day, but they absolutely hate our guts, end quote. And it's funny. He quoted John Tessitore, the ABC ESPN analyst who famously proclaimed Texas was back after they beat Notre Dame in 2016. Sorry, John. But he said, this is Sarkisian, you watch some of the clips at the end of that 2021 game, and Joe Tessitore is talking about how Arkansas hates Texas more than they like themselves. And he might be right, end quote, Steve Sarkisian said. So Sarkisian understands it. And that was a rough trip to Fayetteville. I was there. It wasn't the third quarter got away from him. The defense was on the field forever. I mean, the offense couldn't get anything going, so the defense just wore down. And then in the third quarter, Texas was able to cut it. You know what? They cut it to 16-7. It was 16-7 early in the third quarter, and then Arkansas just went wild. They scored three straight touchdowns, and Arkansas led 33-7 going into the fourth quarter. Sarkisian inserted Casey Thompson as the quarterback for Hudson Card, and Casey Thompson led Texas to two touchdown drives and kind of made it somewhat respectable. The final score is 40-21 Arkansas, but they manhandled Texas. This was absolutely an ambush. And there are still 10 key contributors from the Texas, from that, or 10 key contributors for the Longhorns who made that trip to Fayetteville who are still on the team today and are key contributors. You know, from Jake Majors and Alfred Collins, Jody Barron, Baron Sorrell, tight end Gunnar Helm, defensive tackle Vernon Broughton, linebacker David Benda, offensive guard Hayden Connor, linebacker Maurice Blackwell, and tight end Juan Davis. Some had more prominent roles than others on that team. Jake Majors started for Texas in that game, and Alfred Collins played a lot in that game. And Majors said, I just remember at the end of the game, you know, the fans rushed the field. And he said, quote, I think for me, I never wanted to allow something like that to happen again, end quote. And, you know, Alfred Collins said it was physical. They wanted to whip our asses, and they did. And Collins said, you know, I just remember, this is a quote, I just remember the energy in that stadium. It was an energy of hate and wanting us to do bad. That comes with being a Longhorn, but I remember they stormed the field. So not the best memories of that place, but I'm excited to go back, end quote. I thought that was sort of the defining quote from the guys who went on that trip to Fayetteville. And Jake Majors said, look, not everyone was bought into Steve Sarkisian. And it became apparent in that game. It also became apparent later. When they played Oklahoma and had a 28-7 lead and lost it. But, he said not everyone was bought in. Not everyone was on board. They were still sort of, you know, questioning things and relying on what was instead of what is. And Jahdae Barron said that's the biggest difference in the team that will go to Fayetteville this week and play Saturday at 11 a.m. as 13.5-point favorites against Arkansas is the culture. That this is a Texas team that is bought in, that is bonded, and is talented, but now has the culture to be a team that is in contention for the SEC championship game and possibly to make a run in the college football playoff. That all remains to be seen. There's nothing guaranteed, and it's getting crazier by the minute, it seems, in the SEC when you look at who's getting hot, who's not. And so, you know, the fact that this was sort of the scene of the crime for Steve Sarkisian in year one of facing an SEC team. And he talked about coming out of that game and saying, okay, there's the SEC, there's an SEC team, and here's what we need to do. And he knew that. He told UT officials when he interviewed for the job that he planned to build Texas like an SEC program by getting bigger in the trenches and faster on the outside. And that proved his point, hammered it home that Texas needed to get bigger in the trenches, get faster on the outside. And now they are bigger in the trenches. Now they've got guys who can hold up. They've got Kelvin Banks and Jake Majors still. And they've got a quarterback who can, who's won 9 straight true road games in Quinn Ewers, and they're explosive. They're explosive on offense, and defensively, they've got the marquee matchup in this game is going to be the number 1 pass defense, which belongs to the Texas Longhorns, going up against the number 11 passing offense, engineered by Bobby Petrino. The former Arkansas head coach himself, road rash, neck brace. You remember those images. And Petrino, and they brought in Talon Green, a 6'6", 230-pound quarterback transfer from Boise, who, you know, big, strong kid who can move, can extend plays, can make some plays with his legs, who is healthy. Sam Pittman, the head coach at Arkansas, said he expects Talon Green to be, quote, fine for Saturday's game. And Arkansas is coming off an off week, so they've had extra time to game plan for the Horns. And Sam Pittman already has something Texas no longer has, which is a win over a ranked team. Arkansas beat Tennessee in Fayetteville earlier this year. It was just an absolute rock fight. 19-14, Arkansas won that game. And obviously Tennessee is a top 10 team. And it was let's look at it a little bit here. Arkansas was able to throw the ball against Tennessee's defense. They threw for nearly 300 yards. They rolled up 431 yards of offense. They ran it for 134 yards. Tennessee had 10 penalties in that game that hurt them, and Arkansas was able to hold the ball for 35 minutes. So this is, an Arkansas offense that is talented. The Arkansas defense is 124th against the pass. So Texas needs to execute the game plan it just executed against Florida to beat these guys. Quinn Ewers, all that skill talent. They need to be on point in the passing game. Another 300-yard passing game from Quinn Ewers, who had 5 touchdowns, a career-high 5 touchdowns against Florida. That would be That would be about what the doctor ordered. And in a hostile environment, this is where you need Quinn Ewers to elevate, to take the game that he showed and put on the, you know, put on tape against Florida and improve on it. Taking care of the football, getting the ball into the hands of his playmakers. And because, you know, people were asking me, why didn't Florida do what Georgia and Vanderbilt did? Florida is without their top four cornerbacks, so they weren't going to play as much man coverage and risk it by, you know, bringing a bunch of pressure, because I don't think they trusted their corners to hold up the way that Georgia and Vanderbilt did. And, you know, I don't know that Arkansas will do that either, but I'm sure they'll bring some kind of pressure early in that environment to see if they can catch Texas napping. Or, I mean, there was the first drive that Texas had against Florida. They're rolling, right? You know, Quinn Ewers completes his first five passes. They get down to the 16-yard line. It's second and three, and Quintrevion Weisner tries to cut back a run and eats it for a 7-yard loss. And then on the next play, Steve Sarkisian talked about it on Monday. Cam Williams and DJ Campbell don't communicate well enough, so they don't pick up a move to the inside by Florida, who, you know, they end up sacking Quinn Ewers for a 9-yard loss. So on back-to-back plays, Texas goes backward 16 yards. They end up, you know, kicking a field goal from the 50 or 51-yard field goal that Bert Auburn misses. So it's, you know, I'm sure Arkansas is going to try, you know, whatever it can to bring pressure, whether it's, you know, a full-on blitz where they're bringing five, or if they're just, you know, maybe dropping a guy out and bringing four from an exotic location. I'm sure they're going to try it. And this is where Quinn Ewers, this offensive line, they need to act like the veterans they are and do what they've been doing on the road. 9 straight wins in true road games. And Quinn Ewers has been really good in those games. Outside of, as Steve Sarkisian mentioned Monday, outside of the 2 tipped pass interceptions that happened at Vanderbilt. So it's an early game. Let's see where these guys are mentally. And a bunch of guys are new to the Texas roster. They don't know anything about the intensity of this rivalry or what they're about to walk into. Jake Majors said outside of the Oklahoma end of the Cotton Bowl every year, and going to Alabama last year, the Arkansas game in 2021 was definitely top 3 most hostile environments he's played in 5 seasons. And, you know, Matt Golden, who transferred in from Houston, and, you know, some of these younger guys, they don't know anything about the Texas-Arkansas rivalry that dates back to when they were partners in the Southwest Conference. You know, Arkansas left the Southwest Conference in 1991, and most of these guys, well, they weren't even born. So they're learning through history. And the only history Steve Sarkisian showed them on Monday was the field storming at the end of the game in 2021. Because players today understand that, and they're watching it a lot in the SEC this year, you know, whether it was Vanderbilt beating Bama or Ole Miss beating Georgia and taking down the goalposts, it's happening a lot. So he shows them the goalposts coming down, or the field storming, I should say, sorry, field storming by Razorback fans after they beat Texas in 2021, so that the guys would understand, the new young players, the transfers, the newcomers would understand the intensity of the rivalry. And at the end of the day, that'll that'll sort of be that. I mean, it shouldn't matter. If Texas is, you know, if they stay true to this mantra of being enamored with themselves, focusing on themselves, doing what they need to do, executing their plays, and do everybody doing their job, then they should be able to turn off the sound in Donald Reynolds Razorback Stadium. A quick start would be great. I mean, obviously, Steve Sarkisian kind of took some dramatic action early in the Florida game, going for it on fourth and one from his own 24 in a scoreless game. But he was so determined to get his offense going, to get their mojo back and get off to a quicker start than what Texas has been doing. We talked about all the first quarter interceptions that Quinn Ewers had before the Florida game. Six games he played in, five of them he had turnovers in the first quarter. And so he, you know, got off to a faster start thanks to Steve Sarkisian going for it, Texas converting it. And then, you know, boom, the 44-yard end around by Isaiah Bond gets them in position for the 29-yard touchdown pass from Ewers to Matt Golden, and the route was on. And so that's what they need. They need not only to play the way they played against Florida, but they need to be better. They need to eliminate the penalties. They need to Jerick Gibson, poor guy, freshman, he had a great moment on that fourth and one conversion. He, you know, probably the best between the tackles runner Texas has. He's getting a carry for the first time since the Oklahoma game. He looks like he stopped initially, and then second effort, he gets 2 yards to convert that first down, and then he suffers a lost fumble a little later in the game. Then he lost another, or he had another fumble, but he got it back. And so he's carrying a football around campus this week, and he's got to carry it high and tight. And this is what happens, you know, when you lose a fumble at Texas as a running back, you're going to be carrying a football around campus all week, all, you know, high and tight. Jaden Blue had to do it after he lost a couple fumbles against Mississippi State. And he was saying, you know, teammates will come up and try to knock the ball loose, and you gotta handle it. And Jaden Blue said it hammers home the point that it's all about the team, and that football is the most important thing to the team. And if you're not protecting it, it's, you know, it's a huge detriment to the team. So, you know, it's been such a weird year for the Texas running back room. And, you know, people are asking me, oh man, doesn't look like Texas is going to have a 1,000-yard rusher. And hey, in a year where your top returning leading rusher goes down with a season-ending knee injury in camp, CJ Baxter, and then freshman Christian Clark, who Tashard Choice told me reminded him a little bit of Bijan Robinson, goes down with an Achilles, then, you know, then you bring in a transfer that you pick up late in August, Velton Gardner, and he's done for the year with an eye injury after you know, a player's, you know, hand got in his face mask, and I'm told, you know, damaged his cornea. So it's been a rough year. It's been a rough year for the running back room. And then, you know, Jaden Blue gets off to a good start, hurts his ankle against Michigan, misses the next week against UTSA. So, you know, Quintravian Wisner kind of steps in, Jerick Gibson steps in, and then Blue comes back, has a big game, 100-yard game against ULM, and and then he suffers the fumbles against Mississippi State. So Quintrevion Wisner moves in and kind of takes over. But we saw Jaden Blue, the importance of Jaden Blue in this offense against Florida. Because Jaden Blue told me after the game, it's the best he's felt since he suffered the ankle injury against Michigan, and that, you know, he feels like he's as close to 100% as he's been. And he looked it. He looked fast. He looked really fast. I had some fun on Monday with the guys on offense, asking them to put together if you had to put a 4x1 relay together, out of players on the Texas offense, who would be on that relay? And most all of them said Isaiah Bond and Jaden Blue. And then you got some differing opinions between DeAndre Moore, Ryan Wingo, Ryan Niblett, Silas Bolden. So seems like the marquee matchup would be Isaiah Bond and Jaden Blue. Blue thinks he's the fastest on the team. Bond thinks he's the fastest on the team. So maybe, you know, that would be a good little charity fundraiser or something. I don't know, after the season. But the speed is there. And the speed is something Texas has in abundance on offense, on defense. And it was not something that Texas had in abundance in 2021, outside of, you had Bijan Robinson, who carried the ball 19 times for 69 yards against Arkansas in 2021. He had a touchdown. He had a long run of 20 yards. But outside of that, there wasn't a lot of, production on the ground. Casey Thompson ended up running 7 times for 44 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And so Texas ended up with 41 carries for 139 yards, 3.4 a carry. Again, Arkansas ran it 47 times, 333 yards, 4 touchdowns, 7.1 yards per carry. And that was that. So, different team, Texas is taking to Fayetteville 4 years later. And this is where it needs to be abundantly clear. Like, if you want to do a before and after, if you want to do a then and now, this is where it should come into total focus. If you compare what happened in the 2021 game, and you look at what Texas is doing now, it should look like the Florida game. I'm not saying 49-17, but maybe I am, because here's the thing. Ole Miss went into Arkansas and put the hammer down. I mean, Ole Miss went into Arkansas and beat them 63-31. That told me Ole Miss is figuring some things out, because Ole Miss hadn't looked like that. And they went into Arkansas and they put the hammer down. I mean, they got off to a great start. They were up 21-3 with 12 minutes left in the second quarter, 28-3 with 10 minutes left in the second quarter, and they were up 35-10 at halftime. So, yeah, you're looking for a game similar to what you saw against Florida when Texas was up 35-0 at halftime. And Ole Miss ended up giving up some, Ole Miss was up 49-17, 56-17 before Arkansas scored a couple touchdowns late, really when, you know, the game was out of hand, and kind of like what you saw in the Florida game, where Florida was able to, you know, run the ball a little bit, put a couple touchdowns on the board late in a 49-17 Texas win. So here we go. Texas, Arkansas. The history, the tradition, Daryl Royal, Frank Broyles, Texas heading back to Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, looking to show everybody how far they've come and continue to, you know, beat down the path of a possible SEC title game appearance and, you know, improving their standing in the college football playoff rankings and positioning, if you will. Because here's where it's getting a little weird. Ole Miss is up there, right? I mean, they hammered Georgia 28-10 in Oxford over the weekend. Georgia, and then, you know, Kirby Smart, you know, calls one of his players an idiot because the player got caught on video kind of dancing with a high school friend of his on the field in Oxford. I mean, Kirby, did you have to call your player an idiot? Can you just say, oh, yeah, he bumped into a high school friend and it wasn't a good look, but that's why it happened the way it happened. Like, if you're going to call one of your players an idiot for looking like he's celebrating with a friend on the field as Ole Miss fans are, you know, rushing the field, and how about showing some of that same intensity for the players who've continued to drive 100 miles an hour through Athens, and why there have been 27 car-related incidents since a Georgia player and football staffer died on January 1st, 2023. Like, how about getting a little hot about that, Kirby? But it's amazing. I thought Georgia putting it together against Texas would mean they'd put it together, you know, week to week now. But they, you know, they were tied 20-20 with Florida in the fourth quarter in Jacksonville. And then, you know, got handled by Ole Miss 28-10. Now Georgia's going to play Tennessee in Athens. That's a huge game for the SEC standings and how it impacts who's in the pole position for the SEC title game. Texas controls its own destiny thanks to Georgia losing to Ole Miss and thanks to Alabama pounding LSU. Like, I still can't get over seeing Tiger Stadium empty by the end of the third quarter, emptying. It was staggering. And Jalen Milroe was so good in that game. And he ran, 12 times for over 100 yards. You got to think that's going to be part of it now. They really haven't used Jalen Milroe's legs the way they could have. Nick Saban said Jalen Milroe might be the fastest player on the Alabama team. If that's true, at his size, you got to run him. You got to run him more. And maybe you're saving it for the big games like that against LSU. And that's understandable. But by God, whoever faces Alabama, if Alabama is in the college football playoff, you better be ready for a healthy dose of Jalen Milroe running it, because that dude is the truth. That was big time. And so, you know, Texas just needs to stay in its lane, stay focused, handle business. Because if Texas wins at Arkansas, beats Kentucky and Austin, and then goes to College Station and can take down the Aggies, well, then Texas is going to be in the SEC title game and against whoever. So, but it's interesting. Remember, Tennessee beat Alabama. Bama beat Georgia. Bama beat LSU. Bama, you know, shut out Missouri. How about Eli Drinkwitz going after Bob Stoops in his post-game press conference? It was a very wild and woolly weekend. And we'll get into more of that as the week goes on. All right, we like to wrap things up around here with a Sean Adams thought for the day. My man, Sean Adams, my brother from another mother, he would post a thought for the day on his Instagram. They're still there. His Instagram, this Sean, 1S. This thought for the day comes from May 25th, 2016. Don't worry if people don't like you. Most people are struggling to like themselves. Amen. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to episode 56 of First Down with Chip Brown. Until next time, in the words of my man, Sean Adams, the dream is free. The hustle is sold separately. Go to work. Peace.